From the land to Grand Theodore City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of April, 2025. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll hear from Ed Ossett, agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota, and we'll discuss the weather, too. We'll do that with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics. And along the way, we'll hear a portion of an interview that I did with Giovanni Prezafontes about the cool and wet soils and planting conditions in the Midwest, Illinois in particular, and what that might mean for the coming crop, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day at $4.64 and a half. It finished 4 1/4 higher. July at 4.70 3/4, up 3.5 cents, and December at 4.46 3/4 of a cent lower for the new crop. May soybeans at 9.83, up 6 cents on the day. The July contract finished 4 higher at 9.97, and November at 9.81, 3 1/4 cents lower. Bean meal futures up $5.30 at $288.40, and the bean oil at $45.15, 69 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat in the July, the harvest month, up 7 3/4 of a cent at $5.50 and a half. The hard red at 5.72 3/4, 2 3/4 of a cent higher. Live cattle futures at $194.17 and a half. A settlement price down $4.02 and a half. Feeders were off 3.60 at $271.27 and a half, and lean hogs for 100 pounds at $90 and a nickel, down $1.50. Crude oil at $61.32 a barrel, down 67 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now down just 101 points at 38,429. It was much further down in the overnight trade. And here to talk about that and all things that have been happening in the agricultural sector is Kurt Kimmel. He's with the AgMarket.net team out of Normal, Illinois. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's an exciting, high volatility atmosphere we're seeing here in. Probably going to stick around for some time to come.
It feels like that will be the case. Let's do start with the outside markets. The Dow regaining much of its overnight losses, or nearly all of its overnight losses. The NASDAQ now up, darn near 200 points at this point. What do you see in the marketplace, and why is this taking shape today?
Well, we've taken a lot out of the marketplace for sure. A lot of news, fake news. Earlier this morning here, we had a sharp rally to the upside on news that the tariffs were going to be delayed for 90 days or a 90-day pause. Then went more than that come out, and everything was quite a bit higher than, I'd say, within 20, 30 minutes. White House denied it, saying that was fake news, and boom, back down to negative territory we went. Then going into just right before the midday Eastern time there's ideas that if China does not take off their 34% tariffs they put on there last week by April 8th, tomorrow, that the administration will impose a 50% additional tariff on Wednesday, April 9th. So, boy, we've just got things flying back and forth. And this is mainly with China. It seems, though, that we are making progress, or the administration is making progress with some other countries, and kind of negotiate or work through this process. It's just not tariff, but there are so-called backdoor or non-tariff barriers, value-added tax, the VAT. So there's a lot of moving parts taking place on how this is going to all unfold. Bottom line is, we get some stubborn bullheaded people doing some big old punches on each other in through here. Where it ends, I guess we're going to find out through here. But the end result is we buy a lot more from China than they do from us, Todd.
Well, we'll find out how that goes as time passes. Let's do deal with the agricultural markets. Corn managed to gain in the old crop today. Is that because the bin doors are closed and farmers are getting ready to go to the field? I saw also the basis has been picking up.
Yeah, it's a combination thing. Bin doors are closed, but when that bin door closed, you heard a big bang echo inside. A lot of these bins are empty. A lot of the grain's been moved and rightfully so. What is left, I think guys are going to hold on until they get the crop in the field for the most part. Corn-wise, the Delta. We'll see our first progress report this afternoon. As a nation, we're expected to be about 2% planted, but boy, they've been getting bombarded. Some flooded out areas, then two. Those guys that were switching from cotton to corn, they're going to give about another week and a half. If they can't get back in to finish up corn, we can see switching there. Not a huge amount of acres, but just enough to give the market a little support. Also with the flooding, man, heart goes out to everybody in Arkansas, up through southern Illinois, Missouri, Kentucky, massive flooding, and that helps support the soft red winter wheat. One idea is the wheat's seeing some awful wet feed in through here. So a little bit of weather, a little producer keeping their hands in their pocket, just uncertainty around, gave the corn and wheat market both a little bit of support here today, Todd.
I was looking at the charts, and even with the soybeans, as heavy as the losses were last week, it appears to me that they stayed within a broader trading range, and that must be good news.
Yeah, you can make that chart kind of look whatever you want it to look like in through here. There's moving averages, there's trend lines, there's retracements, there's double bottoms, triple bottoms, all kinds of stuff to look at in through here. Corn kind of, old corn particularly, kind of broke out the short-term downtrend line there and has been holding those recent lows. Brian, our technical analyst, feels it's very important to hold these recent lows. But if we can stay above the downtrend line here, technically we've got a little support. Then also, too, when you look at the corn chart, we're seeing lows materialize kind of the end of the month, first of the month. So hopefully that trend will continue here. The momentum indicators are pointed upward. But yeah, the beans broke the support line, just fell out of bed, ugly, and reached some areas here that warranted some value, and now we're in a position to maybe hopefully see these beans come back and test the old support line. So the charts are interesting, not only on the daily, but you know, pull up some weekly and monthly charts here. There's just about a little bit of everything for everybody there, Todd.
The livestock have suffered the last several days too. Cattle off another $4 today. Feeders off 360. Hogs were off $1.50. What are you watching in those markets?
If we get in dispute with China in through here, we moved some beef to China, and so the export picture is a little skinny here, even though we are dealing with some tighter numbers. That coupled with consumer confidence, man, if this stock market doesn't find some support in through here, the meat sector going out to eat could be put on the back burner, and that's not good for meat demand.
Hey, thanks much. I appreciate it.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with agmarket.net. April brings with it planting weather, sometimes cold, sometimes wet. When the combination is in place, that becomes a problem, says Giovanni Prezafontes. He's an extension agronomist at the University of Illinois. I spoke with him late last week.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like, when we start getting into April, I think we're starting thinking about planting time, and you know, there's an itch to be out in the field and start work and planning. And I think sometimes we may be overly fixated on, you know, having the crop planted by a specific calendar date. So the idea here is that, you know, early planting is still good, right? We know the potential benefits of early planting, but there are other things that we need to keep in mind. And I think soil conditions at planting and after planting, it's very important to keep in mind. And like you said, like cold soils by itself, it doesn't necessarily pose a threat to corn and soybean seeds, but the problem gets when the soil is cold and wet. Then we start having increased risk of seedling or seed damages by, you know, pathogen infection or insects feeding on the seeds. And we talked about the imbibitional chilling injury, which is when the soybeans emerge and they, you know, when they absorb water to emerge, if that water is cold, then that's when we see some of those chilling injury.
We'll hear more from Gio tomorrow. Giovanni Prezafontes is an extension agronomist at the University of Illinois. He and Emerson Nafziger penned an article for the Crop Central website. You can see it right now on ours at willag.org. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Do visit our website. The address is willag.org. Let's turn our attention now to the broader agricultural sector with Ed Usset, agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota with Extension there. Hi, Ed. Thank you very much. Just one topic on the mind of most people for the day, the impact of tariffs on agriculture and the wider economies across the planet in general. What do you think about the tariffs that the president has put into place?
My first thought is, you say most people are thinking about the tariffs. And if you find the ones who aren't thinking about it, I'd love to meet them. Is there something else on their mind? I'll tell you how I finally came to terms with this. I was struggling with it. You know, everyone wants, you know, advice. You know, what should I be doing? What should I be doing? And I've been just mute. I don't know what to say. And it dawned on me. The difference here between, you know, people will look at this volatile market. By the way, I've got a small position in a stock, a $5 stock. It has moved 40 cents today, up and down. You know, I mean, it's like almost a 10% range on one stock in one day. It's sort of breathtaking. What struck me last week is something we need to remind ourselves of, or I need to, the difference between risk and uncertainty. Risk can be measured. You got a lot of producers out there right now, Todd. They've got unpriced corn in the bin from last year, unpriced soybeans. Doesn't feel real good right now. And yet I would say that strategy, which is very common for producers every year, is risky. And yet we understand the risk. We understand that 2 out of 3 years, 7 out of 10 years, it's going to work for us, sometimes very well. And we accept the fact that sometimes it doesn't, like last year. Unfortunately, it looks like this year isn't looking too good either. But risk can be measured. We can put a probability on it. And a lot of the work I do with my characters and that is really about measuring risk and leaning into things that work more often than not. This tariff thing is all about uncertainty. And you can't measure uncertainty. You can't put a probability on it. If I tell people, or if I had told people, I wish I had a month ago, get aggressive with sales, you know, stock and commodities, get aggressive. I'd be right now. But of course, if we do a U-turn on this current policy, market's going to go back up and we're going to feel bad. If I tell people to do nothing and these tariffs persist, it's like, well, you know, there you go. You should have sold. I don't know. How do you give advice in an uncertain environment? How do you sort out the risk? You can't. It's immeasurable. It can't be measured, and the uncertainty is like a black cloud over this market.
It will be difficult. I'm wondering if the known risk, relatively speaking, is what you have to stick with at this point, and then decide how much of the uncertainty you're willing to bear.
That's, I guess that's what I'm doing. It's not working very well, Todd, but that's what I'm doing.
Me either.
It's not working very well. I'll go with the known risks. I'm thinking about crop insurance and how we're going to handle that news if, in fact, we're making big payments next fall, how that shakes out in this whole thing, because that might be our big source of income come this fall. If we can't turn this thing around, we're going to get payments based on revenue shortfalls.
Okay, so we have 8 more days until the 15th of April to consider a known risk, which is PLC and ARC. Let's start with soybeans, because I think that one is easier, that the agricultural economist, the FarmDoc team here, says sort of regardless, with or without tariffs in place, our county is the likely choice. Mm-hmm. However, corn is on the bubble. They were leaning towards ARC County, but could be convinced of PLC. Does the uncertainty provide you a different view?
The uncertainty is what makes it impossible to answer. You know, it's the uncertainty that makes it impossible to answer. You go with what you think is going to happen, and some people will be right and some people will be wrong.
Well, I just can't nail you down on anything today.
No. And I'm a real downer to talk to boot. So it's been a tough one.
Tell me about the April WASD and, more importantly, the May World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates and USDA's first set of numbers. They'll include some things that we, as long as there is a normal growing season for the planting rate, that we probably know will be in place. For instance, if it's normal, we'll know what the projected yield they'll use is. We'll know the acreage numbers that they are expected to put in. So what do you see in those two?
Well, the most interesting thing in the acreage numbers, and I assume that what came out of the March planning intentions report will find its way into that May outlook for the new crop. We've now increased acres enough in corn that we're going to slip that much loved ending stocks figure back above 2 billion bushels at the end of the next crop year, which is concerning. I mean, I thought the February outlook, they increased acres some, 2.5 million acres, and yet we still didn't have ending stocks above that. But it turned a little more bearish on corn. And with that outlook, so I'll have a close eye on that. We're, of course, it's funny, you'd think we'd be talking even more about weather, and yet weather is not a big topic right now, and yet it's got to be. At some point, we're gonna talk about where it's dry, where it's warm, and so on. And I don't know if that works. That won't work its way into the May report. The May report will be based on USDA's thoughts on a trend line yield.
Anything else before I let you go?
Oh, I've got any recommendations on heartburn medicine?
I went to get Claritin D, which is a different thing for my allergies today, but let's go with that.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again next month.
Okay, Todd. Take care.
Ed Usett is an agricultural economist. He's with University of Minnesota Extension. Mark Russo is now here. He's with Everstream Analytics. Thanks, Mark, for being with us. It's been rocky. Oh, that's the tariffs. It was rocky this last week with the weather, too, though.
For sure.
However, it looks like things are going to smooth out just a bit. Can you tell me about the weather forecast across the planting regions of the Midwest?
Sure, Todd. Certainly a calmer pattern here coming up across the central U.S. After it was very impressive and record-setting rainfall totals and obviously severe and even in some cases catastrophic flooding here in portions of the Midwest and Delta states. The pattern for the next few weeks is now shifting into a drier than normal pattern. So that dry stretch is badly needed here for the wettest areas, which again is going to take some time for those areas to dry out. But this drier than normal pattern will certainly be more locked in here for these next few weeks. And along with that, too, temperatures, which over the next few days will be colder than normal, will be switching back to a warmer pattern by the upcoming weekend. So, yeah, this cold shot right now looks pretty brief in duration.
In the wheat-growing regions of the U.S., do we have concerns still?
We do. There was some precipitation last week in parts of the hard red belt, but by our calculations, only about 15% of the belt picked up meaningful amounts above an inch, with only a third of the belt picking up amounts above like a quarter of an inch. So more precip is needed. The plains is locked in a dry pattern now for the next couple of weeks, and also will be turning quite hot, especially from late this week on into next week. So that will lead to increase in crop stress, declining crop conditions here going forward.
In South America, I believe, and you can correct me, that the safrinha or second crop corn is going into mid-April in fairly good condition. Are there concerns in other parts of that continent?
Right now, no. All in all, it's favorable weather here in April across South America. No sign of any extreme conditions here for the safrinha belt over the next few weeks. No sign of any wet patterns that would disrupt summer crop harvesting. And all in all, at this kind of final month of the rainy season, it looks like a normal or seasonal type of pattern.
Europe in stormy conditions or not?
Right now, we are seeing stormy conditions in portions of the Black Sea region, which is helping to improve topsoil moisture there, but not solving the long-term dryness issues. However, drier weather looks to return next week across that area. And then at the same time, actually Northern Europe, which has been dry the past 30 days, will start to receive rain activity there. So all in all, quite a bit of a dynamic pattern in Europe in terms of the precip patterns.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen to us at willag.org. There you can just click and play our ag programming, or you can search it out in your favorite podcast applications, or just hit the podcast tab and subscribe under the podcast of your choice. The Opening Market Report, the Closing Market Report, or the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast, all on the website at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.